This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today I'm in the studio with...
Arvind Yuvraj.
Frida Liu.
We are talking about whether or not your office environment is good for productivity. We've spoken about open offices, shared office spaces, all of that good stuff. We have a list of the most disruptive office distractions that are ranked. Just the top three. Number one is a coworker talking loudly on the phone. Number two, coworkers talking nearby. Three, phone rings or alerts. Put it on silent, folks. Just before the break, we had a message via WhatsApp from Johan, who was telling us everyone in the office are complaining that the office is too quiet. We asked him what industry he was in, and I had a mental guess, and I was going to say, I bet he's in banking. Right. Funnily enough, he says banking. maybe that's the expected environment for this industry, is right. What he says, though the complaints are actually coming from the millennials.
I think that's another problem, right? Like if the
what,
office
millennials?
Is like...
Don't say that.
I would never say that. I would never say millennials are a problem. I don't know why, but yeah, but I mean, being too quiet in the office, that would be another issue, right? Yeah, that would be a bit difficult to work in.
It's horrible when you work like that. You know?
If it's too quiet?
For me anyway. You know?
Right.
I understand you've got to be quiet to get some work done. You know, pipe down, get your stuff done or whatever. But when it's that absolute morgue silence, it just feels oppressive.
Restless.
Anyway, keep the messages coming in, folks. Thank you very much, Johan, for that. 018-789-8899 is the number to get us on WhatsApp, just like Johan did. If you want to get us over on Twitter and on Insta Story, we're at BFM Radio. Whilst Arvind tells us this next story about designing a co-working space for seniors, I'm going to look up the results for the poll.
Yeah. So since we were talking about co-working spaces, there is a place in New York that's called Senior Planet Exploration Center. It's a co-working space and learning center based in Brooklyn by a nonprofit called Older Adults Technology Services, or OATS for short. It's dedicated to people 60 years or older. It offers members classes like startup or connecting in the digital age to advance their business skills. It also has workshops on how to use iPads and navigate online banking, and everything is absolutely free of charge. So they can pick up all these classes and attend these classes without having to pay anything. It also says that this is based on the stats of the number of people aged 50 and older will rise to 3.2 billion by 2050.
That's like almost half.
It's twofold. Twofold from what it was in 2015. So 3.2 billion of the population will be 50 or older by 2050.
If you're saying there's 7 billion people on this planet, that's almost half.
Yeah, wow. That's almost half. Yeah, yeah. Also, and then they also say that people continue to work and develop new skills as they age. So the founder, I mean, how they came up with this was that they wanted to give these people who are above a certain age a chance to learn new skills and to explore things that they wanted to do that they might not have been able to do when they were younger. So Senior Planet Centers, they have Senior Planet Centers in 6 states. Over 43,000 classes and sessions have been taught. And since the nonprofit started teaching 15 years ago, it is successful, and the numbers are also quite surprising because it sees $6 million in revenue, US dollars in revenue, which is up from just under $3 million 3 years ago. It has 70 people in its staff, and most of its revenue comes from the government and donation checks, and the rest comes from earned revenue from corporation sponsorship. So, let's say like a bank wants to have like a class in one of the Senior Planet centers, so they might sponsor that class for like a group of people and stuff. Which is nice. It's also the reason it was launched. It launched in 2004 with the mission to tackle the ageist narrative that exists in the American professional world. There are terms like PIP that people use. PIP stands for previously important person. Harsh. You know, that are associated with like retired people or older people in the workforce. So the organization slogan, like OATS slogan, is fittingly aging with attitude. So that's
wow.
the thing. Yeah, yeah. So
that's my mother.
That's the thing that they wanna tackle. And it has like a bunch of like nice stories. Like someone who there's this guy by the name of Carlos Lewis, who's 73. So he got of the he joined this co-working space. He joined the Senior Planet Exploration Center because his daughter just wanted him to go out of the house. He didn't know how to use the computer. He didn't know how to code. He didn't know how to do anything when he first started. And fast forward to today, which is about 2 years later, and he's working on building a Wix website and an Etsy page for his business that sells hats.
Wow.
Brilliant.
See? Yeah. Actually, I picked the story because I was thinking it's one of those segments. I think we've covered this before. It's one of those segments that has a completely different lifestyle and has completely different needs and completely different way of doing things that no one seems to tap into for whatever reason. I think it's because of the stigma of being like, oh, you know, people are retired. Well, you know, you don't have to.
You don't need to cater for them.
You don't have to cater for them.
They just want to sit at home and do nothing.
Yeah, and right. It's also because we are in like a sort of like a buzzword or buzz. Or trendy sort of environment, right? So you always cater to like the youngest people in the bracket. So it used to be the millennials. Now you move to the Gen Zs. Whoever is the youngest and earning whatever sort of money, you just focus on them first. Mm. And you sort of ignore like a complete segment that needs these sort of, or would love to use, not needs, would love to use these sort of like facilities. Like I know, like for instance, like my dad would love something like this. He's retired, and he's bored at home. Like he constantly says that, you know, I feel like I need to work again. I would love to do something, but he doesn't want to go into a job where they give him the work of a 40-year-old or 45-year-old. You know what I mean? And lots of companies don't know how to distinguish that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of these people who are retired, you know, they want to do something, but they don't want to do those things that are associated with being an old person. Mm. You know, they don't want to do the knitting. They don't want to do the
chess playing.
Yeah, yeah. All of those things, because there's a lot of them are still young at heart and still young in their mind.
Yes.
You know, so they want to be able to do something that makes them feel as though they're being productive. Mm. But there's also that fear of technology. And I can tell you this from an example from my mum. You know, her big fear is completely tech, right? Mm-hmm. We bought her this brand new TV that is the simplest of devices to use. And we bought it specifically because it has a big button that says Netflix on it, right? So all she has to do is switch on the TV, push Netflix, and there it is right in front of her. But to get back to the normal TV, there's a couple of steps that you have to push different buttons. And because of that, it's put her off using it. Right. Mm-hmm. And if there were some place that she could go to with a community of people of a similar age and a similar demographic or whatever, who would talk her through these ideas and talk her through using her smartphone, which she's kind of forgetting how to use, you know, and just teach her little things about how to use Facebook on a laptop, for example. These people would benefit leaps and bounds. And so would we. We'd have less stress, you know, because we're not having to constantly explain these things.
That bridge is sort of like, you bridge the gap.
Right. Definitely. This is what we need, something like this.
And I think sometimes we take it for granted going like, oh, you know, it's just Facebook. It's easy to use. It's just a tab. You know, it's easy to pick up. But I have an aunt who's in her 70s and she still drives, but she never parks in shopping complexes or shopping malls. And the reason she doesn't do it is because she's afraid of using the parking, the ticket machines.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because she just, you know, they're like, she says there are too many slots and it's always telling you to do something else and every one of them looks different in each mall.
Yeah.
And to you, it's like, you know, it's just a parking machine.
It's a thing you've got to use.
It's a thing you got to use. It's like, you know, you go to it, it's the one of the simplest machines to use. For different people, it's not as simple. It's got way too many things going on. And so she on purpose, she doesn't drive to shopping complexes. She always picks stores that are on the outside where she doesn't have to use one of these machines.
Where there's some guy who collects your money and gives you a receipt.
Yeah. Which might be even more expensive than going to the mall. So,
for sure.
I mean, you know, that's one sort of tech. But then imagine, like, you know, using tech like this, like, you know, building websites. If they knew how to use these tools, they could do so many things in their age with their experience and the things that they've learned and put those things to good use. I don't think money is necessarily a problem. They are retired, but they can use that money for other things that they want to sort of focus on in this time.
Right. Mm. And we don't have these outlets here, you know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if they know it's a safe space, they like to come in. And it's amazing how people who are just a couple of years older than me are so techno, you know, phobic. You know, they're just so scared, right? And I'm just thinking, like, you know, if I wasn't in this industry, if I wasn't, you know, working with people younger and all that, would I be that way as well, right? Mm. And so this is a great idea. And you would, you know, like, look at this, Carlos, we're making the hats and all that. Like, I just want to check him out and just see what kind of hats that he makes, right? And I'll buy because it's available on, you know, on the internet. I was just, so you were reading about how this is they are dependent on corporate sponsorships and independent government and donation checks. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how we'd be less dependent on government aid and make it into a business. This is a great social enterprise. Is it a big enough of a worry in Malaysia yet? We have a lot of young people, but we also have an aging population, somewhat large enough aging population. Is there something that we can do here?
Yeah. I mean, like community centres, you know, drop-in centres, this kind of stuff. It doesn't have to necessarily be an old person's workspace. It can be something as simple as, you know, an old shop lot somewhere on a ground level where people can just pop in, you know, and just go in and spend an hour or so there, you know, almost like your old internet cafes, how they used to be, but specifically catered for people of a certain demographic, I think would do very well here. You know?
I mean, we've got like co-working spaces like mushrooming here, like left hands, and every week there's a new co-working space that opens. It'll be, and they always focus on like one segment. It'll be interesting to see if they focus on like different segments, you know, like especially those above the age of 65. It's it would be like a nice challenge for them, but it would also cater to an untapped market. There's a huge untapped market that I know would love to do things like this.
If you're listening outside, folks, and you like this idea, maybe, you know, do something about it, talk about it amongst your friends, how we can get something organized, this would be great. Right, we have to move on though, so back to the topic at hand. We are of course talking about your office and whether or not it's productive in your office. Are you too distracted? Are there things that distract you within that office? And, you know, tell us what they are. Message over on WhatsApp from Scoot, who says, "Hi there, you guys have been so cute, polite, and politically correct. Why is there no mention of body odor or the silent killing fart in the office? Surely it has to be annoying and heightens your sense of smell."
Because everyone here smells nice.
Everybody smells nice.
That is true. Scoot seems to have personal experience or post-trauma from something that he went through.
And that's the thing, you know, if somebody smells bad in the office, right, there's no easy way of telling that person, right? You have to get HR to do it. That's the way to deal with it. Right, we need to take a short break. Thank you very much for that, Scoot. Do keep them coming in. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter and Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Before we go, though, the results from the poll so far. Very, very interesting. 84% of you are saying no, your office environment is not good for productivity. 16% are saying yes. That's a bit of a shocker, that. Tell us more about that. Why? 018-789-8899. Right. Music from Iron and Wine with Naked As We Came. This is for Scoot and his, you know, we're being too polite. Final story coming up in just a few minutes from Frida. 8 productivity strategies to take on hectic days. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.